Welcome to Grace Bible Study. Will you please turn with me in your Bibles? Let's go to Proverbs. Now, I tell you what, let's go to Psalms. Psalm 12. All right. What we're going to do today is this is our last Bible study of the beginner series. So what we're going to do is have a little sneak preview of the advanced series. Now, those of you that have been receiving these videos for the beginner series, you do not automatically go on to the advanced series, okay? We've made it to where at the end of this beginner series, if you want to get on the advanced series, you need to either call us, write us a letter, or email us, okay? Now, what we're going to do, we're going to put the address up here on the screen, all right? And you can see here that it's at Grace Bible Study, 32269 Patty Ann Drive. That's in Denham Springs, Louisiana, USA. Also, if you rather email us, you can email us at kingjames1611@cox.net. Or you can phone us at area code 225-664-5739. Any way you want to get in touch with us is fine, okay? It doesn't matter to us. And just let us know that you want to continue on and get on the advanced series. Now, once you get on the advanced series, you will be permanently on our mailing list, and you will never be taken off. As long as we're making videos, you will be receiving the rest of the videos. All right? Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to give you a sneak preview of the studies that are going to come on the advanced series. We're going to be putting in some heavy-duty stuff on the advanced series, and we're just going to give you a little sneak preview of that. For instance, we'll be talking about the King James Bible, the King James Bible being the Word of God in the English language. We'll be talking about God's eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We'll be talking about things like Paul's fourth missionary journey that most people don't know about. So what we're going to do, we're going to get a little bit into the Scriptures here. I'm going to try to hit on quite a few things. So what we're going to do, I want you to go to Psalm 12. Now, what we're going to do right now is discuss a little bit about the King James Bible. Now, watch. Psalm 12, I want you to notice in verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Now, I want you to notice here in verse 6, it says that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So what we have here is the word of the Lord is pure stuff. There's no blemish in the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice in verse 7, it says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Got a question for you. Who is going to preserve the word of the Lord? Well, the Bible says here that the Lord's going to preserve His holy word. Now, a lot of people think man is in charge of preserving God's word. Well, I can tell you right now, man is not in charge of preserving God's word, okay? That's too delicate of a job for God to give to man, okay? Because man usually messes things up. So God says that He's going to preserve His holy word, all right? So what we have here, the words of the Lord are pure words. They are without blemish, and that the Lord's going to preserve them from this generation forever. So what we have here, we have different Bibles out there. Every year they're coming out with different Bibles, and I looked on the internet one time, and there's just tons and tons of different Bibles out there. But there's always one that stands up on top, okay, and it's the King James Bible, all right? Why do I say that? Well, it's very, very simple. All you have to do is compare Bibles, okay? All you have to do is compare one Bible to the next Bible, all right? And when you do that, the King James Bible will stand up on top. Now, I got a question for you. Do you believe in the Trinity? Do you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Do you believe these three are one? All right, so what we have here is we have Scripture in the King James Bible that tells us about the Father and about the Son and about the Holy Spirit. Let's go there. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, I want you to notice, 1 John chapter 5, I want you to notice in verse 6. Okay, verse 6, it says, "This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Verse 7, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. So what we have here is we have Scripture that tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Father, and about the Holy Ghost. Now, there's plenty of places in this Bible that you'll find Scripture talking about the Father. Plenty of places in this Bible you'll find Scripture talking about the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Word of God. All right, and there's plenty of places you will find about the Holy Spirit. But there's only one verse in this Bible that tells us that these three are one. It's 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Now watch verse 7 again. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay? Now, you know what? A long time ago, there were some people that didn't believe this. All right? And what they did, they took it out of the Bible, all right, and took it out of the manuscripts and stuff like that. And some of these Bibles use these manuscripts, these corrupted manuscripts, to make their Bibles, get them translated into English and stuff. Now, a very, very popular Bible today is the NIV, okay? It's called the New International Version. Us people that use the King James Bible, we say the NIV is the non-inspired version, okay? And you want to know why we believe that? All right, well, I want you, if you have an NIV, all right, I want you to take your NIV and I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5, all right? Now, I've got one right here. In 1 John chapter 5, now, in an NIV Bible, it does not say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay, they left it out. Now watch. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to notice in verse 6, it says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7, for there are three that testify. Verse 8, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. All right. So what we have here is they've taken the Scripture where it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, and they left it completely out. Now, what I want to show you is, now, I want you to look at, I'm going to put up here on the screen, all right, I want to show you verse 6 out of a King James Bible, okay? Now, in verse 6, it says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. All right, now watch. Let's read verse 6. I'll tell you what, we'll put them side by side, and we'll read verse 6 out of an NIV. It says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. All right, so what we have here is these verse 6s are pretty much the same, but I want you to watch what happens in verse 8, okay? Verse 8, it says, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, that's out of a King James Bible. Now, watch. Let's see what they did in the NIV, okay? Now, what they did, they left verse 7 out, and they split up verse 8 into two verses. Now, watch. Verse 7 out of a NIV, it says, for there are three that testify, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. Now, let's read that one more time. Verse 7, for there are three that testify. Stop. Verse 8. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. Now, if you take this verse right here, the verse 7 and 8 out of an NIV, it matches verse 8 in the King James Bible. But when it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, they left that completely out. Okay? Now, question. Do you believe in the Trinity? Do you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one? Well, if you say yes to that and you believe that, why are you using a Bible that leaves it completely out? You know, I talked to somebody the other day and I showed them this and they just didn't realize. They didn't know it was missing out of an NIV. Okay? But the Bible says, all right, God's going to preserve His holy word. Now, here's the deal. Okay? Now, this Bible is a King James. I want you to notice it says Holy Bible on the front of it. Okay? Now, This is a Bible. It says Holy Bible, NIV, right here. Okay? Now, the word holy means without blemish. Okay? Now, one of these Bibles has a blemish in it. All right? But yet they both say Holy Bible on the front. All right? They can't both be right. Something is wrong here. One of them's leaving a verse out. All right? Now watch. Let's go to some more scripture. All right? I want you to go to Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. All right, Revelation chapter 22. All right. Now, I want to read to you out of a King James Bible. Now, watch this. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Now notice in verse 19 it says, "God shall take away his part out of the book of life." All right? Now watch, I want to show you something. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 2. I'll tell you what, maybe it's chapter 3. Let me get there. Genesis, I'll tell you what, let's go to chapter 3. All right, most of you already know that there was a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. All right. Now, if you remember, Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord. Okay, and so the Lord says, the day you disobey me, he says you're gonna die. Okay, and God kicked them out of the garden where they couldn't get to the tree of life. Now, watch in verse 22, Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. The Bible says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." All right? So what we have here is we have Scripture telling us about the tree of life. Even Adam and Eve, in their sinful state, if they could have eaten of the fruit of the tree of life, they could have lived forever. All right? Notice what it says in verse 22 again. "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever." So the tree of life has fruit on it, okay? And that fruit has something to do with flesh living forever. Adam and Eve could have eaten from that tree of life, and they could have lived forever. But God says, you're going to die. And that very same day, they started dying. God kicked them out of the garden. They couldn't get to the tree of life. So what we have here is, we have a tree that has fruit on it, and it has to do, the fruit has to do with flesh living forever. Now, I want you to go to Revelation chapter 22 again. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. It says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." All right, so what we have here at the very end, after the thousand-year reign, all right, they're going to set up the New Jerusalem, and it's going to have two trees out there on either side of the river. All right, we're going to have the tree of life on either side. Now, this tree of life, just as it says in Genesis, okay, it has fruit on it and it has leaves on it. So these are actual trees, okay, that have fruit and that have leaves. All right, so we're going to have the tree of life there in the new world, okay, the new earth. All right, now I want you to go to tell you what, let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Now, if you remember reading the Bible, or maybe you saw the movie The Ten Commandments, okay? If you remember, Moses went up on the mountain, and the children of Israel sinned against the Lord. They made a golden calf and worshipped it and all kind of chaos went on. Now, I want you to go to verse 30. It says here, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." All right? So what we have here, we have God has a book that he's written, all right? And it's called the Book of Life, and it has names in it of the people that are going to have eternal life. Okay? And Moses said, if forgive their sin, or if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. So what we have in heaven is something called the Book of Life, and it has names written in it. Now, I want you to go to Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, all right, Philippians chapter 4, I want you to notice in verse 3, it says, "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." So what we once again, we have a book up in heaven, all right? It's got names written in it, and those are the people that are going to have eternal life. Now, I want you to go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Notice in verse 11 it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and on him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So what we have here, we have a book up in heaven with names written in it. And if your name is not in the book of life, guess what's going to happen to you? It says right here, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Now watch, let's go back to Revelation chapter 22. We're in a King James Bible. I want you to notice in verse 19, it says, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." What's God going to do if you start changing the words around, take away from the words of the book of the prophecy? He says he's going to take your name out of the book of life. Okay? That's what it says. Now watch. Let's go to an NIV Bible. Now watch. Revelation chapter 22. Notice in verse 19, and it says, "If anyone takes words away from the book of this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city in which are described in this book." All right? Now, here's the deal. The book of life is a book up in heaven with names written in it. The tree of life is a tree that grows out of the ground. It has fruit on it. It has something to do with flesh living forever. All right? Now, they are not the same. All right? The book of life and the tree of life are not the same thing. All right? Now, when I get my new body, okay, I'm going to have a spiritual body. My body's going to be fashioned like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, like his glorious body. Okay? You can take away my part of the tree of life. All right. I don't need the tree of life to have eternal life. I've got a glorified body. The tree of life is for people that are in the flesh. Okay. They're going to need the tree of life. They're going to need to eat the fruit of the tree of life. Okay. But don't take away my name out of the book of life. All right. Because that means I'm going to hell. That means I'm going to be cast into the lake of fire. Okay. So what we have here is we have a King James Bible. It says, "If you take any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." But the NIV says God's going to take away your share of the tree of life. They're not the same thing, people, okay? These Bibles say two completely different things. How can this be right, okay? How can both of these Bibles be right? Well, it's because they're not, all right? The only one of these is right, and I'm telling you right now, it's a King James Bible, all right? Now, this is just a sneak preview of what we're going to talk about the King James Bible, okay? Now, watch. Let's get on to another subject. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 28. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. All right. In Acts chapter 28, what we have here is we have the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul goes to Rome, and he's in prison, okay? And that's where the book of Acts leaves us. Now watch. Acts chapter 28, notice in verse 30. Acts chapter 28, verse 30, it says, "And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him." Now, what we have here is a lot of people think that when Paul went to prison here, he died right here in prison. Okay? But I'm going to show you out of a King James Bible that Paul was released from prison and he had a fourth missionary journey. All right? Now, if you have a Bible with some maps in there, go to the back of your Bible, and most maps, okay, most maps only show Paul's three missionary journeys, and then it shows his trip to Rome. Okay? And that's where they ended at. But the Bible clearly indicates, all right, that Paul was released from prison and he had a fourth missionary journey. All right? Now, for instance, now I want you to go back to the book of Acts. All right? In the book of Acts, now, Paul was in Jerusalem, well, and they went down to Caesarea later, but and then Paul had to go stand before King Agrippa, okay? And what happened was Paul appealed unto Caesar. In other words, Paul had to go to court, he had to go to trial, all right, and he appealed unto Caesar. He wanted to stand before Caesar Augustus, okay? So what we have here is Scripture. Notice in Acts chapter 25. Notice in verse 9. "But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die, but if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And so after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came into Caesarea to salute Festus." And he goes on and deals with Paul a little bit more. But what I'm trying to show you here is the Apostle Paul was going to, he had a court date, okay? He was going to stand before Caesar and he's going to be judged by Caesar, okay? So when Paul gets to Rome in Acts chapter 28, Paul is awaiting his trial. Okay? That's what's going on. He's awaiting his trial. Now, when Paul gets to Rome, all right, he's in prison, so he can't really go anywhere, so he writes a bunch of letters. He writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon all at the same time and sends them out. Okay? Now, watch. I want you to go to Philippians. In Philippians, all right, let's go to Philippians. I believe it's in chapter 2. All right. Now, Paul writes this when he's in prison. Now, watch what he says, okay? He's writing to the Philippians. All right. verse 19. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 19. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." Okay? So notice in verse 23, he's planning on sending Timothy to Philippi, all right, to the Philippians. All right, verse 23 it says, "Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." Now remember, Paul is going to trial. Okay? He doesn't know how it's going to go with him yet, but he thinks it's pretty good. Now watch the next verse. He says, "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." Okay? So what we have here is we have the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians. Well, they're in the city of Philippi. Okay? And he tells them, "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." Okay? Paul is expecting to be released from prison. Okay? And he's planning on going to Philippi. Now watch. Let's go to Philemon. In the book of Philemon, okay, I want you to notice, let's go to verse 1. Philemon verse 1, it says, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer." All right? I want you to notice it says here, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul is a prisoner. He is at Rome, okay? He is still in prison. Verse 2, "And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house." All right? So he's writing to Philemon, Apphia, and Archippus. Okay? That's the three people he's writing it to, but it's called the epistle to Philemon. All right. So he writes to Philemon, all right, and he talks to him about Onesimus, about a problem he had with a guy. All right. Now I want you to notice in Philemon verse 22. All right. Now Paul is in prison when he writes Philemon. All right. But I want you to notice in verse 22 it says, "But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." All right. So what we have here, Paul, he writes to the Philippians, and he tells them, "As soon as I shall see how it will go with me, but I trust in the Lord, I shall come shortly unto you." And he writes to Philemon, and he says, "Prepare me a lodging." Okay? Paul says, "Get me a place to stay. I'm going to come see you." Okay? "Prepare me a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." Now, Paul is writing these letters knowing that he's going to be released from prison. Okay? And when he was released from prison, he went on another missionary journey. Now, watch. So what we have here is we know that he's going to go see Philemon. Let's find out where Philemon lives. All right? Now, watch. I want you to go to Colossians. Back up to Colossians. Okay? Colossians chapter 4, I want you to notice in verse 16. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." All right. So Paul says here, he's writing a letter to the Colossians, and he says, you read this, and you read the one I wrote to the Laodiceans. All right. And you read the epistle from Laodicea and let them read your letter. All right. So when this epistle, verse 16 again, "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus." All right. Now, the church at Laodicea, he says, you read their epistle, and he says, you say to Archippus, all right, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Well, what does that tell us? Well, that tells us that Archippus lives in Laodicea, okay? Archippus lives in Laodicea. Now, go back to Philemon. Philemon chapter 1. Well, there's only one chapter, so there is no chapters. Just Philemon verse 1. Watch. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in thy house. Where does Archippus live? Archippus lives in Laodicea. Where does Philemon live? He lives in Laodicea with Archippus, okay? Because he wrote the letter to both of them, all right? So what we have here is we have Scripture telling us that Philemon lives in Laodicea, and Paul says, prepare me a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. All right, let's keep going. Now watch. I want you to go to 1 Timothy. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but 1 Timothy and Titus are not prison epistles, okay? Paul did not write 1 Timothy or the book of Titus while he was in prison. Paul was set free at this time when he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus. I tell you what, instead of going to 1 Timothy, I don't want to cover the whole thing here. Just go to the book of Titus, all right? Go to the book of Titus. I want you to notice in chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, notice in verse 12. Titus chapter 3, verse 12, it says, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Where is Paul going to spend the winter? He's going to spend it in the city of Nicopolis. Does that sound like he's in prison at Rome? No, it doesn't, does it? All right? So what we have here is we have Paul. We know that he's going to go to Philippi. We know that he's going to go to Laodicea. And we know that he's going to go to Nicopolis. All right? And this was after he went to Rome. This is after he was imprisoned in Rome, people. So Paul was released from prison, all right? And he had a fourth missionary journey, and he had something very, very special to teach, all right? Then what he went about teaching people, and this is another subject, we're going to move on to another one, all right, is God's eternal purpose, okay? Now, Paul wrote some things before he got to prison that indicated he was going to be receiving some more information, okay? And one of these was God's eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, which he wrote down in the book of Ephesians, okay? That was after he got to Rome, all right? Now watch. I want you to go to, let's go to 1 Corinthians. I tell you what. Okay, yeah, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Most of you out there probably know this is called the love chapter because it deals with charity, deals with love. Now, notice in verse 8 it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So what we have here is, we have the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he tells them about some things that are going to stop. He says, charity never faileth, but prophecy shall fail, tongues will cease, and knowledge shall vanish away. He says, verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So he has something he's waiting on. It's called when that which is perfect is come. And I've heard all kind of stories. That which is perfect. Oh, that's talking about when the Lord comes back. That's talking about this, talking about that. Okay, I'm going to show you what that which is perfect is. All right, now watch. So what we have here is Paul is going to be receiving something later on. Now watch. I want you to go to the book of Acts. All right, in the book of Acts, all right, let's go, I think it's in Acts chapter 26. Let me make sure real quick. Acts chapter 26. All right, in Acts chapter 26, let's go there. Acts chapter 26, The Lord appeared. Paul is sitting there talking to King Agrippa, and he tells him about his conversion in Acts chapter 9, when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus. All right. So the Lord appeared to him, and I watch what it says in verse 16. The Lord told him, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Okay? So the Lord Jesus Christ told Paul, he says, okay, you're going to be a witness of the things you've just seen, okay? But you're also going to be a witness of the things that I am going to appear unto you. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to show the Apostle Paul some things that he's got to go and teach. All right? Now watch. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to notice in verse 1, it says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Okay? So what we have here, we have the Apostle Paul telling the Corinthians, he says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory." He says, "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." So Paul knows he's going to get visions and he's going to get revelations coming to him, okay? He knows this. He said in the book of Acts, all right, well, the Lord Jesus Christ told him, he says that you're going to be a witness of these things and the things that I will appear unto you, all right? And Paul says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now watch, go to Galatians real quick. Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, going the wrong way. All right, Galatians chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Okay? Question, where did Paul get his gospel? All right, he got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed it unto him, revealed it unto the Apostle Paul. Okay, did Paul get it from Peter? No. Did he get it from James? No. Did he get it from John? No. Where did he get it from? Okay, he says he got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord revealed it unto him. Then I'm talking about the gospel of the grace of God, people. All right, so what we have here is Paul is going to be receiving many, many, many things. Okay, now watch. Go to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, in Romans chapter 15, I want you to notice in verse 28, okay? Romans chapter 15, verse 28, it says, "When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." Now, Paul says that he was planning on going to Rome, but he was going to go to Spain also. And he says in verse 29, "And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Now, whatever it is, okay, he doesn't have it yet, because if he had it, he would have given it to him. But he doesn't have the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. But he knows when he gets to Rome, he's going to have it. Okay? And he says, "And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Now, whatever that is, he knows he's going to have it when he gets to Rome. So what we have here is, we have the Apostle Paul is having visions and revelations of the Lord. He's getting stuff all the time, okay? He didn't get everything at one time, people, all right? He got things over the years. The Lord Jesus Christ showed him some stuff. Now watch, let's go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all right? Now, I want you to notice in verse 9 again. He says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Okay? Now, Paul says he knows in part. He doesn't know everything that he's supposed to know yet. Okay? He knows in part. He says in verse 10, "But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." Okay? Now, this which is perfect is come is a revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give him when he gets to Rome. Okay? Now watch, let's go on. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Okay? And Paul was known everywhere. All right? So what we have here, Paul says, I know in part now, but then later on, sometime in the future, okay, he's going to receive that which is perfect. Okay? And then he's going to know in full. Okay? So what we have here, this revelation that Paul is going to get, it has something to do with charity. Obviously, he writes it in 1 Corinthians 13, okay, the love chapter. It has to do with love or charity. It has to do with knowing something. It has to do with perfection, all right? And it has to do with knowledge. It has to do with being full, okay, or being in fullness. He says, I know when I come unto you, talking to the Romans, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Whatever it is, he knows he's going to have it when he gets to Rome, okay? Now, when he gets to Rome, Jesus Christ reveals that unto him, all right? And he writes about it in the book of Ephesians. Let's go there. All right, in Ephesians chapter 3, all right, in Ephesians chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 8, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So what we have, it is now revealed, people. Okay? It is now revealed. Paul writes about it. Verse 11, very, very important. Now watch. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right? What is God's eternal purpose that he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord? Let's go on. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and here it is, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Question, people, if you want to be filled with all the fullness of God, what do you have to know? You got to know the love of Christ. All right? This is some of the subject matter that we're going to be getting into on the Advanced Series. Now, once again, I want to tell you, okay? You do not automatically get on the Advanced Series. Just because you were on the Beginner Series, all right, doesn't mean you automatically go on the Advanced Series, okay? If you want to get on the Advanced Series, you must contact us somehow. We gave the numbers and everything at the beginning of this Bible study. But get in touch with us somehow and we'll put you on the advanced mailing list and you'll be forever on the list, okay? Just give us a call, contact us somehow, and we'll put you on the advanced series. Now, some of the other subjects we'll be talking about is the 7,000 years. God's dealing 7,000 years with man here on this earth. And many, many other subjects. We'll be getting into some heavy-duty stuff, okay? It'll be a lot of fun, so won't you please join us? Now remember, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.